Good morning. There was a song that was playing down in the prayer room, and I was listening to it, and it's entitled Fill the Room. I think we've done it yet, but want to do it one of these days. But it's about God's presence filling the room. And when I was thinking of it, it led me to this verse in chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles. This is the dedication of the temple. This is the temple that Solomon built. And it was probably the most glorious temple that ever existed. It was laid with gold, and it had all of these intricate works, and it was very special. A lot of money went into it. So when they brought all the furnishings in, they brought everything in to basically do the sacrifices and everything that needed to be done. Solomon finished before finished the dedication with a prayer. And when it says here in verse 1, when Solomon finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven and burned up the burnt offerings and sacrifices. And the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glorious presence of the Lord filled it. When all the people of Israel saw the fire coming down and the glorious presence of the Lord filling the temple, they fell face down on the ground and worship and praise the Lord, saying, He is good, His faithful love endures forever. And we hear that and we get this picture of something that is like amazing, you know, a fire coming down from heaven, and God's presence fills the room in such a way that the priests can't even go into the temple. And then I have to remind myself that that was old covenant. That was before the cross. That was before what Jesus accomplished on Calvary. That was before the Holy Spirit was sent. And so even though we may not see physical fire, we may not see, you know, literal smoke, we're in the presence of God. We have full access, it says, to the God, His kingdom, and His throne room. So, Lord, we thank You, God, that what happened in that temple some, how many years, 3,500 years ago now, a long time ago, Lord, that You, Lord, created something in this realm that's even greater, that Your glorious presence is with us all the time. So, Lord, I pray today that we would remember as we sing these worship songs, as we lift our voices, Lord, as we praise You, that Your glorious presence is here, that You are here right now. And because You're here, Lord, Your glory is here. And so, Lord, we just receive Your presence. We receive everything that You want to do in our lives today that would glorify Your name. In Jesus' name.
Deserve it still. I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. attention, my devotion, captured by your face, with eyes of fire and hair like wool, undone by your embrace. There's no one like you, and none beside you. Holy, 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 all the angels cry out. Just one look at Jesus, and I'm face down in the ground. Holy, 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 all the angels cry out. In just one look at Jesus, and I'm face down in the ground. A line of Judah, a Lamb of God. Oh, who is like this King? The Lord Almighty, clothed in glory. cry out. Just one look at Jesus, and I'm face down in the ground. Holy, 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 we join with heaven now. Just one look at Jesus, and I'm face down in the ground. And I'm face down in the ground.
Week and everything's chaos and I don't know where my boots are. Do you know what? Jesus doesn't care about my boots. Jesus doesn't care about what's on your phone. He doesn't care about the fight that you got with your spouse or your parents. He cares, but he's not about your comfortableness. That came from Pastor Eric. He does not care about you being comfortable. What he cares about is that you are joining with heaven now. You are joining with heaven now. That's a powerful statement. And what are you doing about it? Are you joining heaven? Are you distracted? I'm all about people coming up front so that they don't have to look at who's ever distracting them. I'm all over that. But holy, holy, holy is he. This is our opportunity to connect. This is our opportunity to not miss the opportunity to connect. 9 days ago, we were in a car accident. Smashed our car in. Our car is totaled. I feel like I'm totaled. I hurt everywhere. But Jesus. He loves us so much that he wants to interact with us, engage with us, singing holy, holy, holy. I say it all the time. This may be the last opportunity we get to sing holy, holy, holy. That car accident could have been way worse. I could have not been standing here. You may have been looking for a new pastor. I mean, it could have been so much worse. But he left us so that we can sing today, this morning, holy, holy, holy. Come on, you guys. I need to hear from you. You're all standing there like I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to every one of us. Use your opportunity this morning. Can we sing that again, Pastor Eric? Use this opportunity truly to connect your heart. Doesn't matter who's in front or behind or beside. None of that matters. What matters is it's your opportunity to connect.
Jesus, in a place down in the ground. Holy, 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 we join in heaven now. Just one of Jesus, in a place down in the ground. Holy, 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 all the angels cry out. Just one look at Jesus, in a face down in the ground. Holy, 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 we join with heaven sound. Just one look at Jesus, in a face down in the ground. Holy, 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 all the angels cry out. Just one look at Jesus, in a face down.
Opportunity again to just connect with Jesus, to tell him how holy he is. So if you're it's hurting in your body, or if you are feeling like, you know, I need more of the Lord, please just come forward. Let's sing it again one more time, Pastor Eric. we're here to pray over you, to love on you.
Look at Jesus in a face down in the ground.
Jesus, we thank you for this morning and the power of you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, for this opportunity that we have, this one opportunity, not looking at what's in the past, but racing toward what's in the future in you, God. That's our goal. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We love you that you planned this for us. Father, I want to pray this morning for Tara. She is at the doctor's right now, God, and we just pray for wisdom. Father, we pray, Lord God, for healing in her body. We pray, God, that she would just rest in the power of you, God, the healing power of Jesus, the provision for her made on the cross. Jesus, we thank you for that. We thank you for that. Be with us as we move forward, God, in you in this service. Help us not to miss what you want to do. Help us not to overshadow with our own agenda that we miss out on the opportunity of continuing to worship you. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We pray all of this in your name. Amen. Greet everybody. Grab a cup of coffee. We'll meet back here.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
There you are. I'm so glad you guys are awake with me. You have to bear with me. My voice is doing something funky right now. But I am excited to get to do declarations with you guys. Who's excited for declarations?
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that excitement. Yeah, come on. You guys, we get to speak over our city. There's power of life and death in our tongues. And when we speak these declarations, we are like, these are going out to the hills and causing things to move. Even though we might not see with our natural eyes, I promise you, it is impossible for us to partner with the Lord with our tongue and not have anything happen. Okay? All right. So without further ado, we're going to pray over our declare over our city. So 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Lord,
for what you are doing. Revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things, and I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. Amen.
Yes, Lord, we thank you, Father, that everything that's happening in heaven will begin to happen here in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for giving us the authority to speak forward the things that your heart wants to see. And so, Father, I pray that as we go into our city, as we go into our stores, as we go into our workplaces and our friends' houses, Father, that you would go with us, Lord, that you would go before us and that people would feel the difference, that something's stirring, God, and that there would be a hunger like never before in our city. Father, that there would be an awakening like never before in our city and that people would begin to know who they are and whose they are in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Thank you.
Yes.
We just have a couple announcements. Following Saturday. I know it's the second Saturday this Saturday, but it's only the 8th, and it just feels like it's the first Saturday. So we'll be having it the 15th. So it's not this Saturday, the following Saturday. I will send out a reminder to everybody. But that's here at the church downstairs, and we have a great time of fellowship and hopefully have a great meal. I really try to do the meals good for you guys. And yeah, join us if you can, and bring a friend. And then thank you for giving. You can give at onelifefamilyworship.com, or you can give in the front or in the back. And we thank everyone who's faithful in their giving to this house. All right. Well, I have a message that just came last night. We had to kind of shift stuff around a little bit, and Eric was going to be sharing, but then he needed to do worship this morning because somebody mandolined their thumb. But I'm glad that you're doing okay. And you know what? The Lord knew what was going on. So I was listening to a YouTube, just listening, couldn't watch it because I was driving. And it was about something that was taking place that evening, just right at sunset. And so I was listening to it, and I'd heard over, you know, the past year or so that this particular event was going to take place. And so when I heard about it, I want to try to see it. I never got to see it because of the way our house is situated and stuff. I couldn't get a view of it. But how many know that there was a planet alignment? Yeah, Jesse knows. Jesse's into those kind of things. There was a planet alignment last night of seven planets were on the same side as Earth with the sun. And this only happens like once every 15 years, not very often. And this particular, you know, they're not lined up just like that, but they're on the lower horizon just as the sun is setting. That's because Mercury is always really close to the sun. You can see, I think, three of the planets really easy with the naked eye. Two more, I think, with binoculars. And then the other ones, you would have to have like some kind of amazing telescope. Jesse's trying to see if I'm correct on that. Yeah, this is they're in alignment. Yep, they're in a line. Exactly. And so that was interesting. I said, oh, I want to look at that. Like I said, I wasn't able to. But when I received the text that Eric was going to be leading worship, I just texted him asking, are you still good for tomorrow to preach? And because I know sometimes it's difficult to try to do both. And he said, it'd be great if you could do it. So I said, okay, I got it. And so immediately when I said yes, that word alignment came. And it's like, oh, it wasn't just for this. So this is one way that we can use the word alignment. And this is where all of the planets are positioned in a certain way. So alignment has to do with positioning. But it also has to do with the way as something moves in a line. And whether it's going straight or whether it's going crooked. How many have ever had to have their car's wheels aligned? Yeah, most of us, because if you don't want to have your tires, you know, basically wear themselves out on one side and not the other, we align our cars. A lot of times when you get new tires, they'll say, hey, you need to get your wheels aligned. And so today I want to talk about being aligned with God and the things of God. So when things are in alignment, it means they are moving in the same direction or are positioned similarly. For example, all the planets being on one side of the sun at the same time, or all the wheels of a car being aligned to travel in the same line. Our lives, like the planets, need to be positioned where God wants us. And like the wheels of a car, need to follow the same path or direction that God is moving. So really, alignment, both types of alignment apply to our lives and our lives in God. So I want to start with a verse. Now, you may hear this and say, what does this have to do with alignment? Well, I'm here to tell you the word align or alignment is not really in the Bible. There are some commentary Bibles that will use it in like the commentaries, but I searched through 50 translations and the word align is not used. Although the principle of alignment, which we'll see, is all through there, but the actual term alignment must be something the etymology must be in our times, not necessarily back then. But if we look at Matthew 6, 22 through 24, and yes, I'm using the King James Version. I meant to do that. So just so you guys know, when it says the, It means what does it mean? I got to get that right again. I always get it in the we'll read it and I'll tell you what it means. The light of the body is the eye. So the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye or your eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. Now, this single is what I really wanted to focus on, because the single really means, and we'll look at it, the definition here in a moment, but it means to be complete or to complete, be whole, or to be like in alignment, the way that it's supposed to be. And if we read on, but if thine eye be evil, so that the opposite of single is evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee, that's you, be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So this illustration here is talking about, it sounds like our eye, it sounds like our physical eye, but it's not really our physical eye. It's the eye of how we view things. It's the eye of how we see the world. It's the eye of how we see the things of God. It's our understanding. You know, Paul said, I pray that your understanding would be enlightened so that you might know the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glories of his inheritance in the saints? And why is that? That's because he wants us, and Paul wanted us, and I know God wants us to be able to see things properly. So when we see things properly, it helps us to stay in alignment. It helps us be aligned in position, and it helps us to be aligned in lining up and moving in a straight way with God. Amen? All right, so the Helps Word Studies, and you can find the Helps Word Studies you can actually buy it if you want to, it's expensive, or in the Bible Hub, you can, when you go to a Greek word, it's in part of the definitions for those Greek words. And so it's not on everyone, but a lot of them it does. And this one is a cognate, that means that it has a previous word that it's coming from, and it means properly unfolded or single, literally without folds. So it's referring to a single or undivided focus. So again, we're looking at this eye. If this eye is singular or has undivided focus or is not double-minded, as we'll see, then it allows us to what? See things properly. It said here that if your eye is single, the whole body is full of light. It allows us to have God's light. It allows us to have God's wisdom. It allows us to have God's understanding, God's perspective on things. Then it says also it's without a secret or a double agenda, which prevents an overcomplicated life being needlessly distracted. The antonym or the opposite of it is double. And so it means you're, if you're using the other word, which is the opposite word, it means like double. And I'm sure that's where we get double-minded. So what is this saying? This is saying that it's necessary for us to evaluate how we see things. You know, I know sometimes when I hear things a certain way, say I'm listening to someone and they're speaking to me, and I realize that it's not setting right with me because of what I'm hearing. And sometimes it's because of their situation, or it's because my eye is not single. It's because I either have preconceived ideas about what they're talking about, and they're not necessarily heavenly ideas. They're natural ideas. And so my natural understanding is coming in, and so I'm starting to judge or view that situation double-mindedly. I'm not viewing it singularly. I'm not viewing it with proper focus. And so when that happens, I say, Holy Spirit, what's going on? What do you need to do in me? You know, and sometimes it's not in the situation. It's after I leave and the Lord reminds me, hey, you know, you were preconceiving, or you were judging a situation, or you were responding to somebody with an attitude, and maybe they didn't notice it, but I noticed it. I wasn't being as, you know, forthright or whatever. Something happened inside of me that was keeping me from being singular or focused in a godly way in that situation. James, 1:5-8. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. I'm going to do that again. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and stable in all his ways. So right here, James is communicating that the idea of asking of God for help, for wisdom, for direction, for guidance, for things that help, I believe, us in our lives, benefit our lives, but also benefit the kingdom of God, that we're to do that. The New Living Translation, I think, says, and he's not going to like hold it against you for asking for wisdom. He's not gonna say, oh, why are you asking for wisdom? I mean, you know, you could be asking for a car and you're asking for wisdom. I'm kidding. But the idea is that there is no hesitation for God wanting us to have his wisdom. But if we ask, we have to make sure that we're not doubting. And I believe this is for really anything, you know, because doubt is like, it like kills faith. You know, I remember the man who has the son who keeps falling in the fire and in the water and asks the disciples to try to, you know, cast this demon out. Finally, Jesus comes off the mountain of transfiguration with his other few disciples. And he says, what's going on? The man explains to him. And Jesus basically says to him, you know, if you believe, this is going to be done. He goes, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my doubt. Help my doubt. Because my doubt is crowding out my faith. My doubt is crowding out. It's a double-minded. So how do we get away from this? Hopefully we'll get this in the Word as we go on. Obviously, we do not want to be double-minded because we're unstable. We're not, you know, we're like a table that has a leg missing or something, or you're putting, you know, an old broom that you cut off and you're trying to make that be the leg and it's not even. It's wacky. Amos 3:3. This is the idea of what it means to be also singular. It means that you're in union. You're also connected. It's Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together, New King James, unless they are agreed? So if you think about it, we're talking now about if you're walking with somebody and you're arm to arm and, you know, you're going this way, you're holding hands, you're going this way, and the person you're holding hands with all of a sudden says, no, I'm going to go over here. You've got a problem. Have you ever like been walking with your wife or someone in the store and all of a sudden you're going to go to the electronics and they're going to, you know, someplace else. All of a sudden you split. I thought we were going here. Like, no, we're going here. And so you got to come to a meeting of the minds. You can't walk together unless they're in agreement. The Message says this way, do two people walk hand in hand if they aren't going to the same place? You guys have done that too, right? I think everybody's done that, right? At least us married folks, we've done that, you know, that if you're not going the same place, don't hold hands. But the idea is you have to be in agreement. There has to be a union in thought. And this is part of the being aligned. You know, a marriage couple needs to be in alignment. They need to be in alignment how they're going to raise their kids. They need to be in alignment how they're going to spend their money. They need to be in alignment of, you know, if you know, the wife's going to work. They really need to be in alignment. And some marriages aren't. Some people, you know, just say, this is the way we're going to do it. And the other one's not in alignment, but they go ahead and do it anyway. Well, we'll see that can cause friction. That can cause difficulties because you're not going in the same direction. You're not positioned the same. And especially in God, if we're not in union with him, if we're not walking along with him, if we're not agreed with what he wants for our lives, then we're going to be in opposition. New Living Translation says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? I don't think you can. Proverbs 4:25-26 says this. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. You know, I remember Jesus parable, probably come up in one of the parables. It's very short, but it's also very powerful. He says, no one putting their hand to the plow looks back. And, you know, that's for us in this day and age, not many of us have run a plow. But I did some study in that years ago, and what was necessary to run a plow was to look way off in the distance. You can't look even, you know, just at the end of the row. Because what ends up happening is that you lose the ability to keep the perspective at the end of the row. You have to look at something a mile away. Because that mile away is not going to move. And if you're hitting towards that, you're going to have straight lines. And so looking back, guess what you lose sight of? It's not that you just turn your head for a moment and you know, you lose what you were looking at. And so for us, as Christians, what do we need to be looking at? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God in glory. We were singing about that. Who is this man who sits on the throne? But if we fix our eyes on Jesus, what is most Jesus? I know he's close to us now. He's dear to us now. But when you're going through trials, when you're going through struggles, when you're in third world countries where life isn't looking really good for them, they potentially lose their life or whatever it is, they're looking to Jesus finally completing their faith to where this horrific life that they're going through is healed. You know, Paul said, I look to Jesus in his day of coming, his glorious appearing, because he went through, you know, Paul, I'm sure he had good times, and yes, he was content, but he had a lot of miserable days as well. You know, for the sake of the call, for the sake of the gospel, he was keeping his eyes on Jesus way out there. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. So, to me, this is telling me that we need to make sure that we're not looking, you know, just to tomorrow for our faith. We need to be looking at when we go to be with him in his glorious appearing. Because if we keep our eyes on Jesus, and yes, I know that we all have an intimate personal relationship with him, but sometimes we don't always feel him. But if we remember his promise that someday he's coming back for us, someday we're going to be going to him, it takes the sting away of life. And I believe it helps us walk a straight path. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hebrews 12:13 says this way, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but be healed. New Living Translation says, mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall, but become strong. And then the message, clear the path for long distance runners so no one will trip and fall, so no one will step in a hole and sprain an ankle. Help each other out and run for it. To me, this is telling us as brothers and sisters in Christ to help each other have a straight path to walk on. So that, and I believe a path that doesn't have holes and ruts and all that. Has anybody been a runner before? Yeah. And it's like long distance runners or cross country runners. Usually they get injured when they're going across irregular ground, when the ground is not even. Because what ends up happening, they step in a rut and they twist their ankle, or they drop in such a way they lose their balance and they fall. And why is that? It's because it's not a straight, clean path. And I believe that's part of being in alignment, is making sure that our path is straight and clean. Now, how do we do that? I believe it's just our devotional life. I believe it's how we view things with our eyes singularly, how we stay focused on Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Psalm 32, 8-9 says this. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. So this tells me that God wants to help us walk a straight path. God wants to help us walk a pathway where we're going to be safe and we're not going to be getting into dangers. And he says, I will advise you and watch over you. Then he says, do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit or bridle to keep it under control. In other words, don't be like an animal that's just going to like, oh, look at this over here. I mean, when you ride a horse, they have a bridle, they have, the reins on them so that they can be steered. And we're not to be like that. We're to keep our eyes on his path and not have to have him force move us, you know. How many of you have been forced to move by God before? It's no fun. It hurts sometimes, because he's saying, no, child, this isn't safe, It's like our little dog, Sweet Pea, the other day, she was like running from me. And she's in like a new house and a new environment, and she's like a little bit confused. But she started like not listening to me, which I don't like, And so I had to literally like grab her by her scruff of her neck, and she hates that, and move her back over to the gate. And then she went in the gate. Sometimes God has to do that. Grab us by the scruff of the neck and say, child, you're going to get, we're in a pretty quiet spot, but still, I don't want to run out and get hit by something or try to get away. And so I nudged her back in. I didn't kick her or anything like that. I have done that before to certain animals. Like one time there was a dog that we had, and Newbie was his name, and he bit Tim. Tim was playing with him, and I like lost it, and I like backhanded the dog, and he went rolling all the way to like the other side of the room. You're not going to bite my kid, And huh? Baby. Tim was a baby. Yes. But still, you're not gonna bite my baby. I didn't think baby. You're not gonna put a hand on him. You're not gonna put your teeth on him. So, what I'm saying there is I believe that God can, in the same way protect us when we are yielded and surrendered to Him. Okay, Proverbs 3:5-6. I think you guys know this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will make your path straight. Pretty clear, isn't it? Of how to get these straight paths, how to get aligned in our life. It's trusting in God and not leaning on our own understanding. I think that's the big part. Because I think all of us have ways that we view this world. We've been raised a certain way, we've experienced certain things, we've been conditioned, so to speak, indoctrinated. And so what ends up happening, a situation comes along and we don't trust in God. We don't trust in the wisdom of God. All of a sudden we start relying on our own understanding. Well, this makes sense in my natural thinking, so this must be the way to go. And so we end up going that way and we suffer loss, or we end up hurting someone else, or we end up just not achieving what God wanted us to achieve. And instead, we need to acknowledge him in all of our ways and he will make our path straight. I love there's a scripture that says, commit your ways to the Lord and he will direct your paths. So I think acknowledging him is saying, Lord, I'm committing this way to you. Now, granted, there's certain things that we have, experience, and we have wisdom, we have knowledge, we have, for lack of a better term, just the ability to make the right decision, because they're simple. But there's times when we come to situations that we don't need to rely on our own understanding. Especially, I believe, when there are difficult times come up. Say, like, difficulties in finances, or something going on with our job, or with our relationships. And you start leaning on your understanding, you start giving in to, I think this is going to be the best way to handle this, and it's not the wisdom of God. And God would say, no, don't handle it this way. Handle it this way, even though it doesn't make sense to your natural mind, because when you do it my way, you're going to have greater success. Doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect, but if we're doing it God's way, I believe God's outcome is what will happen. And if it's God's outcome, then I believe it is the best for us. It's kind of like all things working together for good. So again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely or lean, some translations say, on your own understanding. And then acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he will make your steps straight or your path straight. He will make your way before you. Amen? Amen. Okay, here's a New Testament version of that, believe it or not. Matthew 11:28-29. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, how does this have to do with trusting in the Lord? We're coming to him. We're not just coming to, you know, a book, or we're not just coming to, you know, our own thoughts. We're coming to him, especially when we're going through difficulties, labor, and we're heavy laden. We're taking his yoke upon us. And I talked about this last week, how that's basically like being yoked to Jesus directly as a work animal. And even though Jesus isn't a work animal, that's the illustration, that it's like we're linked and we're connected with him. And we're learning from him. And he's gentle and lowly in heart, and we'll find rest for our souls. So this is telling me that to be aligned with him, I need to come to him. That's the first step. I mean, you can go through all this stuff and say, okay, I got to do this, got to do that. First, we got to come to him. We got to realize that he's the answer for alignment, that it's not us ourselves. Like, I can't stay in alignment with God myself. I don't care how much I read my Bible. I don't care how much I pray. I don't care. He has to be the source of the alignment. And we'll see what that means in a moment. He has to be the very source. He has to be the reason that my life is in alignment with him. You're saying, like, what? How can that happen? How can he be the reason and the fuel that helps you align with him? That's the way the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit's at work in us to will and to do of God's good pleasure. But we have to let the Holy Spirit work. And how do we let the Holy Spirit work? We come to Jesus. It's like a cycle. You know, there's vicious cycles out there. Well, there's godly cycles. We come to God. We ask him to help us to come to him. Lord, help me come to you so I will know you more. Help me know you more so I can come to you. Help me know your love. Help you know your love, that you love me. And because you love me, I can love you. And as I love you, you show me your love. It's just a cycle. But if we don't end up going to him, we never get to go into rest. We're going to be fighting this Christian walk all the time. And believe me, I have been there. I have done that. And I think I have a t-shirt like that. Okay, I just want to give just a few illustrations that kind of make you just kind of put all of this together. If you realize again the idea of the car alignment, I'm not going to do the planet part. We'll just do this in a direct line. But just as a car needs proper alignment to function optimally, there we go. Our lives work best when aligned with our Creator's design. Direction and purpose. A misaligned car pulls away from the straight path. Have you guys ever like had a misaligned car and you put on the brakes and it wants to go off a certain way, especially when you put on the brakes for some reason, or you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you feel it pulling a certain way? That's a misaligned car. But just as we can drift from our intended purpose when not aligned with God. So when we're not in alignment, we can get off track. We can get to the place where we're not following him straight. We're more in like crooked paths, or we end up, you know, you start off a little bit here and you keep going misaligned, and pretty soon you're off in, you know, Timbuktu, when it was just, you were just off just a little bit, but you kept going. And after so much travel, Where is God? It's because you weren't aligned. Maintenance and correction. Both require regular check-ins and adjustments. Spiritual disciplines like prayer, scripture reading, are like those alignment checks. You know, in other words, when we're praying, hopefully it's not just we're just saying words and trying to get through a list. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, saying, child, you need this correction in your life. You're misaligned in this way. Maybe not he's going to use that terminology, but that's what he's doing. He's trying to correct us and get us back into even kilter, however you want to, what word you want to use, alignment. So we're going straight, and we're going straight on his path. How about this one? Causes of misalignment. Life's potholes. Hardships, temptations can knock us out of alignment with God, similar to how road hazards affect vehicles. I'm sure if we were to check our Subaru right now, it would probably be out of alignment after that hit. And we're going on a trip, and we haven't had a chance to have it aligned because we thought it was going to go into the shop, but as Gay said, it was totaled. So we'll be trying to figure out where we go from there, but I'm sure it's misaligned because it was in an accident. You can get misaligned when you hit a curb. You know, you're turning a corner too tight and you hit a curb. Well, in life, you know, we have potholes. We have situations that happen. We have circumstances that are beyond our control. And when they come and they hit us and we're not completely fortified or our heart's been damaged, guess what? We can get out of alignment with God. I mean, so much so that people, when certain things happen, I'm not praying to the Lord anymore. Have you ever heard that before? Have you ever done that before? I've done things like that, you know, where I'm like, okay, I may not like, you know, not pray, but I'm, you know, it's like your heart draws back a little bit because you're hurt, you're wounded, or there's a certain area of your life that is now not in alignment, and he doesn't have all of you. And again, that usually suffers and causes suffering in your life. Warning signs, just as even uneven tire wear signals car misalignment. Spiritual drifts often shows through stress, lack of peace, or disconnection from purpose. I think a lack of peace is the greatest sign of misalignment. If we don't have peace in our life, guess what? There's probably things going on that we need to have corrected. We need to have things fixed. And sometimes God can do it. Sometimes, you know, you have to come to the Lord and say, I want you to fix this in my life. And sometimes it's a process. It doesn't just happen overnight. I wish it did, you know, but I mean, just like a doctor, you know, sometimes they give you prescriptions and, you know, you have to go through the process of fulfilling the prescription, or you're in physical therapy and you got to go through all their process of the things being healed. Sometimes even spiritually, that's the case. You have to have stuff, you know, removed from your life, removed from your heart, healed in your heart. You have to have truths come to you because truths make you free. You know, it's not just always overnight. I love it when it is. I've had that happen. Had it where like, got down to pray, got the right heart, got the right attitude, got up, and I was fixed. And I've also had times where I've just had to walk the walk of faith and fight the good fight and believe that what God has said is true and he's not a liar and that his promises are yes and amen for me this day, and then keep walking on, especially when it comes to like things like healing. Expert guidance. I like this. While we can spot signs of misalignment in ourselves, sometimes we need spiritual mentors like mechanics to help make precise adjustments. That's why we need people in our lives. Because sometimes we don't see that we're misaligned. You know, not that you're going around looking for people misaligned. Boy, you need to get your stuff together. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about where you have people that can speak into your life and say, hey, you know, Joe or Bob or whatever, St. Tammy, this is not right. I know you, and this is, you're not functioning like you normally do. What's going on? And then they, oh, I never knew that. I never realized that. My dad has been on some meds. He's 91. And he got so bad last year that basically, we had to take him to the hospital. He was in a wheelchair, and we were sitting in the VA, And the doctor had come in and gone out, and I said, Dad, this isn't right, because you have just like been going, it's not like you went like one day and you were bad. It's like you went downhill, 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 and then all of a sudden you're here. I said, why don't you just not take your meds for 2 weeks? Oh, I said, yeah, just try it. Just take, not, yeah, it's, you know, can't get any worse than this. Well, after a couple of weeks, guess what? He's feeling pretty good. And so he started, you know, after about five, I don't know how soon he did, but he started taking one of his meds. And then he added another one. So basically, over the last 6 months, he's been adding his meds back. And I noticed when we were moving, he was all stumbling and everything again. I said, Dad, you're getting the same way again. And he goes, no, I don't think so. I said, Dad, you don't realize it, but you're getting out of balance, you know, out of kilter. You know, he's not aligned. And so I said, why don't you just for a couple of days not take your meds again? And it's only been like 2 or 3 days, and he's already totally different. So what am I saying? I'm not telling you not to take your meds. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying for him, his particular case is he wasn't realized something was going on with him. I mean, he's saying, yeah, I'm having a bad day or something like that, or he was eating his food and he'd start getting caught in his throat, similar to what was happening before. But us viewing from the outside going, Dad, I think you're getting the same way you were again. And so this expertise guidance is sometimes necessary. And so that's why relationship and community is necessary. And then if we let our lives get into alignment like a car, a well-aligned car drives smoothly, uses fuel efficiently, and lasts longer, just as alignment with God leads us to a more purposeful, peaceful, and fruitful life. If we can allow our hearts to be challenged by God, if we can allow our mind, will, and emotions to come under the submission of the Holy Spirit, believe he can share with us if we're not in alignment. Or if you sense a lack of peace or a situation where you're frustrated all the time, it's probably a sign that you're not in alignment. That doesn't mean that you're not in God, and doesn't mean that God's not in you, and it doesn't mean that you're not saved or anything like that. It's just that things are more difficult for us. They don't need to be. Jesus' yoke is easy. His burden is light. That's verse 30. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And so to me, when my Christian walk's not feeling easy and light, I go, okay, something's wrong. I'm not aligned. And just as all of those planets aligned last night and probably will be aligned for about the rest of this month, you know, we need to make sure that we're in position where God wants us to be. And we need to make sure that our paths are straight. And I believe the Holy Spirit can be our guide and our leader and helps us get to that place. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are aligning our hearts with you. Right now, Lord, for those of us, God, who are being encouraged by the Holy Spirit and having things pointed out, God, that need to be aligned in us, Lord, that you're doing that right now. And Lord, I pray that whether it's going to be immediate or whether it's a process, Lord, that we would submit to your work, Holy Spirit, that what you want to do in us. Lord, you have a desire for our lives to be fully abundant, to be fully with your presence and glory. And Father, I know that life can give us potholes and life can give us situations that cause us to draw back from you and cause our hearts to become misaligned. So Lord, I pray right now that if there are those areas in our life that whether we know about or we don't know about, but we could surrender those to you and watch you work in such a way that our paths are straight, that our actions bring you glory, And that as we talked about before, we would produce fruit for you, Lord, and fruit that would remain. In Jesus' name. Help us, Lord, to realize the angels are crying out, Lord, to you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And you have chosen to work in these vessels. You've chosen to work in our lives. And you're giving us direction and guidance. And you're leading us, Lord. Straight paths. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.